Good morning. It's nice to be here, standing here, and with the Word of God. I was not doing it for some time because of my throat problem, my coughing, and my asthma problem, and talking problem, and things like that. And God is gracious, and He has given me better now. I feel better now. And see, we are in our assembly, we are here quite a few older people like me think that that's the end. I did it. No more. And we can't do any more because we are getting older. And there is a limit. Kind of things we think. And what I want to read today is about a servant of God in the Bible. His farewell letter, a portion of his last letter. And he is about to die. And before his death, he is writing this portion to exhort the saints, to encourage the saints, to give instruction to young brethren, what to do, and how you had to behave, how you had to do to serve the Lord. And these kind of things he was doing at the last days of his death. And I would, you know now, most of you, what I am going to read and about whom I am going to speak about. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verses from 6 to 8. 2 Timothy is supposed to be known as the last letter Paul's writing. This is the last letter, and this is the last chapter of that. 2 Timothy chapter 4 means after that there is nothing more he writes. And at this time he's in the Roman jail, and he served the Lord from the day of his conversion with all his strength, with all his talents. He served the Lord from the day he met the Lord at the Damascus Road. And before the conversion, all his strength and all his talents he was using against the cause of Lord Jesus Christ, persecuting the church. And anything what he can do against the Lord and his gospel, he was doing. But a time came, God called him, Lord appeared to him and asked him, "Saul, Saul, why you are persecuting me?" And there he had a personal contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus Christ told what he has to do. He asked, "What shall I do now?" And then the Lord instructed him what to do. And after that, he was very faithful, a faithful servant of God all through his life. And he loved the Lord, we can say, probably more than anybody else. He faithfully served the Lord, probably more than anybody else. He suffered for the Lord, probably more than anybody else. He was beaten several times, we read. One less than 40 stripes, several times he tells he suffered for the Lord. And he was in the cold, he was in hunger, and he was all kind of sufferings he was going through. We read in this scripture, and he suffered all that for the Lord, the one who saved him, one who had a personal contact with him and told him about his sinful life and made a complete turned around, and he became a new creature for the Lord and a new servant of God, and now he is serving him. Whatever may be the cause, whatever may be the suffering, he was undergoing all that thing, and he was suffering and doing the Lord's work. And his last days are now here we see. The verses 6 to 8 we read like this. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Let us ask the Lord his blessings for the reading of the word. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this time. We are thankful we were able to worship you and honor you this morning. Now we are thankful for giving us another opportunity to meditate from thy word. The word is thine, and we are yours. You know the need of each one of us, what we need spiritually this morning. Give us, O Lord, from the scripture, through thy servant. We ask it in your precious name. Amen. As I was mentioning, this epistle is the last epistle, and this is the last chapter. And Timothy, he called him as his son, spiritual son. He was born as a new creation or a new Christian by the work of Apostle Paul. So he considered him very dearly and love him very dearly, and he writing this last letter to him to exhort him and to telling him the last things what he has to do. Here in verse 2 we read, preach the word. That is more important for him than anything else. So that is, he gave the first priority, preach the word. By be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. And also we read, but you be watchful in all things, endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. This is the last thing Paul wanted to tell his spiritual son Timothy. Be a witness for Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever affliction may come, whatever may be the cause, because he went through all that, he personally know what affliction he can face and sufferings he can face. And even if whatever it may be, do it for the Lord. Preach the word. And Apostle Paul got the same message for us also as a last farewell message. We have to also be witnesses for Lord Jesus Christ. Like he had a personal contact with him, and Lord Jesus Christ helped him from his sin and saved him, and he witnessed him all his life, and he wanted us also to do that. All those who received Lord Jesus Christ and know him as their personal Savior, our personal Savior, this responsibility is for us to be witnesses, to preach the gospel. And don't be ashamed of the gospel. That is what he instruct and exhort to Timothy. We are very ashamed. We are very shy of telling our friends or co-workers or other people to tell that I am a Christian. I know the Lord. I talk to him. Or he is my Savior. We are very ashamed. But Paul tells, don't be ashamed for the Lord. He loved you so much. He loved me so much. And that's why Apostle Paul loved him so much. And that's why he suffered for him so much. He served him all his life. And he was very faithful to him all his life, whatever may be the cause. Now he is on the end of the trail. His journey is going to be over. And he is going to die. And that's what he is telling. And he is telling, but I am ready. I am ready. And when we think about Apostle Paul and his sufferings and all, we don't have to be feel pity for him or anything, but because he was rejoicing in all these things. He was happy in all these things. And for the believers, the death is, it's not a monster. It's not the end. It may be a beginning. And that's why he is not very afraid or anything. One day, D.L. Moody, you all know D.L. Moody of Chicago, one day he told, one day you will read in the newspaper that D.L. Moody is dead. Don't believe it. I will be more alive than ever before. When he came to the end of the way, he said, earth is receding, heaven is descending, God is calling, and I am going home. That's what D.L. Moody told. That's what the feeling of Apostle Paul also when he write this portion. And there was one saint of God who was on a deathbed lying in a hospital. Then another person went and asked, did you make peace with God? And he told, are you in peace with God? And he told, no, I don't have to. Because Lord Jesus Christ, about 2,000 years back, made peace with God for me. He did everything. He made my peace. He obtained my peace at the cross of Calvary at that time. Now I don't have to do anything for that to be in peace with God. He obtained it for me. And now I don't have to, I am in peace all the time. And that's a feeling of Apostle Paul. He got that eternal peace and joy in his heart. He is peace with God. And he's telling, I'm going to be offered, and my departure time is coming. You know, the departure, it's a Greek word, the meaning tells that loosening up of the moor of a ship. A ship is tied up and it is about to start, and that time go and loosen the thing which is tied, and that is the word is used, the departure. And also loosening down of all the strings which is tied a tent. A tent is now standing, people are living in that, and now the strings are all loosened up and the tent is falling down, and no more activities in that tent that is folded up and moved. That is the word departure means. And he is telling, I am starting my departure. I am going now. This is not the place I have to stay. I am taking out the tent and I am moving, and I am going to be away. And and here we see in another portion we read, I am going to be as of a drink offering. I am ready to be offered as a drink offering. That is in some translation we read. The drink offering is just after the burnt offering and the grain offering. And then comes the last, as a last offering, is the drink offering. The drink offering is offered wine on the sacrifice in an official table, and the wine is offered. And that wine, see, burnt offering, the meat is burnt and all kind of smell there. And then the wine offering come, that is, give a good aroma there, spread. And that pleases God, that drink offering, that's that last offering. And he is telling, that is the offering now. He offered all his life for his cause, and this is the last offering time, the drink offering time. I am at the end of my life. And I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. And I have fought a good fight. I am fought a good fight. This Christian life is a battle. It's a fighting. It's a battle. We are not physically doing some fighting each other, but it is a spiritual battle against Satan and sin. And we had to be fight against our carnal feelings, carnality, which we all got, and we had to fight against, and we had to win. And that fighting is there all through our life, and we had to fight against it. And because when we accept Lord Jesus Christ, God give us the spirit, the spiritual nature in us. That spirit stay in us. But we got the old body, the carnal body, and that's weak. And the spirit will tell, not that, don't do. You can't say that. Things like that, it keep on telling us, don't do and don't say, and all the don'ts the spirit is telling. But our carnal body is telling, it's okay. Nothing happens. If I do, others do it, why not I? All these kind of fight are coming in our mind. And we have to fight that every day. And we have to win. And Apostle Paul is telling, I did a good fighting. I fought it rightly. And he finished his, I fought a good fight. That's what he tells. And it's left for us a good fight to do against our body, against Satan and all its power around us. He's, in the scripture we read, he's like a roaring lion around us to swallow us, the Satan and sin. And we had to fight against that power of Satan. And that is left for us in this world. And he tells, my departure is at hand, and I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course. And he's considering this as a big race. Christian life is a big race. He is, after all, grown and brought up in Europe, in Athens and in Greece, and in that area he might have seen the Olympic Games. And there they prepare for a long, long time, and then they go and compete and then do a great race. What is it for? For a reward. As a soldier, we fight for victory. As a runner in the race, we run for a reward. And that reward, they get it, the athletes, the Olympic athletes get at the end. Then he is crowned, and he is given the big prize of what he was training for a long time, and he put all the effort in the field, and how much he struggled for that, he get the prize. And that is at the end. And we are also waiting for our reward. Apostle Paul, he didn't get his reward at the time he met the Lord. He's telling, I'm going to get that reward. Not at that time, in the end. The race has to be finished, and then only we get our reward. Little this and that, good things happen in our life, we may think that, oh, God rewarded me. But our final reward is in the end. That's at the judgment seat of Christ. We had to wait for that day. That is the day God, the Lord Jesus Christ, serve that reward for his disciples, for his children, for the hard work they are doing, for all the sufferings they are going through, and for all the faithfulness. This race, when we run, it is not the speed which is considered in a Christian race, Christian life. What it is mattered is, Apostle Paul tells, I kept my faithfulness right. He was, how much we were faithful in our race, in our Christian life. That is the important thing. The reward what we get in the end. I read a story. A steamship, a big ship, was going from New York to California. And the owner of the ship asked one guy, he didn't have the money and all to buy a ship to go to California. He told, you also come in, I'll take you take you to California. And he got in the ship. And the journey started. And then the owner of the ship, he told, do you mind to come to the office and do some help for us? Some paperwork or filing or doing some work you want to do for us. He said, oh, sure. You gave me a free ride, a free ticket, and why not I do? And he was so happy, the owner called him to the office to do some things. And he did. And the journey was finished. They reached California. And then the owner gave him a $100 note. Then he told, what is this? You gave me a ride all this way from New York here free. And now you are giving me $100 also. And I don't deserve it. And I don't need it. And he told her, that's okay. That's a reward for what you did on the way. That's exactly what happens to us. God give us a free journey to heaven. We don't have to pay anything for us, for that journey. It is free because it is paid by Lord Jesus Christ for us. He paid all the cost. And he suffered for our sins. And he gave his righteousness as our righteousness. And we are righteous now on this journey to heaven. And we don't have to pay anything for that. But we are placed here to do certain small jobs. To preach the gospel. Or to be his witnesses. To love him and serve him in the church. To do certain things in the assembly. Of helping downstairs, upstairs, or anywhere. These are all small things we are supposed to do. For that, he's going to reward us. He's going to pay for us for that. And that is the last day we are going to get. Till that time, we may not get that. Suppose Apostle Paul got his reward the day he met the Lord, or he started serving him. Here and there, he was given his reward. Think about, for the last 2,000 years, his work, his testimony, now we are reading what he said, his last letter, and somebody may get benefited out of that. And he wrote most of the New Testament epistles. With that, a lot of people may get saved. And all the benefit, all the reward of all that, who get it? He has to wait for that. So he will be keep on getting the reward or accumulating his reward with God, and all that he will be getting in the end on the judgment seat of Christ on that day. So still say souls are saved because of Paul's work. Paul's work is not completed. We may say he is dead and finished. His work is still going on. He wrote. His testimony is still there speaking to all the people. And even today his testimony is speaking. And it may be benefited for other souls. And for that all there is reward. And that reward all accumulate, not at the first day or the in between he give all that reward. He give that all in the end, the crown. He is going to give each one according to his work. And how much we are faithful in our work is the most important thing. Not everybody can expect the same thing, same way can do. D.L. Moody may be able to do in one way, Spurgeon may speak in may be useful for a lot of souls' salvation. And like that, God gave them all talents. And they use that talent. And we may not be get Spurgeon's talent or D.L. Moody's talent or somebody else's talent. We don't have to be worried that, God give them more and I don't get anything. God is faithful. He hasn't got no partiality of some people and other people. He gave everybody according to their faithfulness in the work. That is what he looked for. Not the number, but how faithful he was. How many souls saved is not. How faithful he was in his work, that's what he is going to look and he reward. He gave, in the scripture we read, he gave talents. Someone he gave five. Some he gave two. He didn't expect from everybody five. He asked the one who gave five, he told, well done. You were faithful in small things and I will bless you for that. And when he came to the two, he also got the same blessing because he was faithful in that two talents. But one who got one, he was not faithful. And he was rewarded for that, the eternal hell. So, we don't have to, we in the church may not be everybody elders or may not be everybody speaking from here or may not be everybody going to every churches and speaking. Don't worry about that. They all get their reward. And we get our rewards also. How much faithful we were in what we were doing and where he placed, how faithfully we took care of that. Maybe a small thing he gave us to do here, and if we are faithful in that small things, he is happy and he will reward for that the same way. He is faithful. And regarding faithfulness, Paul was, we can say, 100% faithful in his work. In time and no off time, every time, wherever he get a time to preach, he preached. Every time he has to suffer, he suffered. And he was put into jail several times. We remember he was in Philippine jail. What did he do? When he came out of the Philippine jail, there was a door was in his one hand, and another hand, the jailer. Jailer got saved. Jail opened because of his singing and his faithfulness. And he came out victorious because he was faithful in the jail to serve him. And in the Roman jail, he was for a time. And what we see there, a runaway slave got saved. No time to tell all that story. You know what happened to Onesimus. He got saved with the work of Apostle Paul in the jail. And he was faithful even in Roman jail. And in Caesar's jail, Caesarea, there he was in jail. And when he came out from that jail, what happened? All the household of the jailers become Christians because of his work. That's what we read. In that odd, bad situation, that is what he did. He preached them the gospel to the jailer and his family, and they all got saved, we read. He was faithful even there. That is what God is going to give him reward for that. He's going to receive. And then we see he was faithful in all the other case. Other ways he was faithful. He loved the word of God. He preached the word of God. He told, I want to preach only Jesus Christ who is crucified. And about the cross and him crucified, that is the only thing I want to preach. And he did that. He was faithful for that. And he was faithful completely about that. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. His virgin birth, he believed. His sinless life, the pure life of Lord Jesus Christ, he believed that. And he believed the mighty miracles of Lord Jesus Christ. And his vicarious death, he believed, and he was a witness for that. And his victorious resurrection, that was the subject he was speaking quite often about, the Lord Jesus Christ who was resurrected. And he believed his ascension. He believed his second coming. He believed the heaven. He believed the hell. All these truths in the scripture and all these doctrinal subjects, he was very particular and he believed 100% completely. He was faithful in his faith and in his testimony. That's why he was able to tell even the last moment, Timothy, you be a testimony for the Lord. You preach the God, Lord. You don't be ashamed of any of these things. And finally we see in that portion, it is waiting for him for the crown. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I am finished my course. When I was talking about finishing the course and the race and Olympics and things like that, one thing about the Olympics. If you want to compete in an Olympic match in Greece at that time, he has to be a citizen. He has to be a citizen of Greece to compete. That is the primary thing. And then only you can have the reward in the end. If there is anyone here is not a citizen of Paul was fulfilled that, he was in that category. He met Lord Jesus Christ, accepted him as his personal savior, and he became a child of God. He became a citizen of heaven, and he was a citizen to fight the fight for the reward. Are we all citizens of him, the God, and heaven? If we are not a citizen, if we are not a born-again Christian to the family of God, if you are not a child of God, your work, and all, there may not be any reward in the end, because you had to work according to the rules. On the race, there are a lot of rules. You have to go through the track very correctly. You can't break the track. You have to be in the track. All kind of rules are there. The first one is, if you have to run, you have to be a citizen of Greece. And if we are not a citizen of heaven, don't expect the reward, the crown God, the Lord is going to give at the end. So first requirements first, then the race, then the fight, then the faithfulness, then everything follows. Then finally we get our rewards. I got more things, but I don't want to continue anymore, because today is the potluck day and the ladies need a little time. So I stopped in 2-3 minutes early, and that's okay. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for this time to think about to be a child of God. God wants us to be your child. You gave your only begotten Son to be our sin bearer, our substitute, and gave him on the cross of Calvary for us to die on our stead. And because of him and putting our faith in him, we can be his children, and we can be the children of heaven. And because of that, we can run our race in this world. There may be carnality, there may be a lot of things attract us. Our friends, our associates, the money, the job, lot of attractions may be there on our way. But God, with His Spirit in us, gives us victory over our sins. And we are trusting in that. And may the Lord help us to trust Him in the coming days more, and run a race faithfully according to the rules, and win the award. We need the Lord's help every day, Holy Spirit's help every day, and we can pray for that and be bold and happy even in our up to the last days, rejoicing in him even as Paul up to the end. We ask all these things and giving you thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.